Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word, and we pray we would find it a source of encouragement and comfort today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's Anzac weekend, and we owe a great debt to the Anzacs. Just this past week, I had the great privilege of attending an event in Melbourne where I was able to talk with and shake the hand of Keith Payne, VC, a Vietnam veteran who on May the 24th, 1969, in a skirmish during the Vietnam War, although wounded himself and under fire, rescued 40 of his wounded men and brought them to safety, and was awarded the Victoria Cross for such bravery. And so Peter McPherson suggested that Anzac weekend seemed an appropriate time for us to focus on the crisis in Ukraine, because like the Anzacs before them, the people of Ukraine have shown extraordinary and great courage in defending their land and their freedom, showing great sacrifice and incurring great losses too. And of course, this is the story, the universal story of war. Over 4 million Ukrainians are refugees. The majority have fled to neighboring countries like Moldova and Poland, as we saw in the video. And they have found a warm welcome there, and in many cases, a Christian welcome of good news and love. The Christian community who have stayed in Ukraine have shown great faith, courage, and perseverance as well. Here at St. Alfred's, we're very aware that so much of our world is in conflict in places such as Yemen, Ethiopia, Nigeria, and Myanmar. We have church members who are either from those countries or have lived and served in those countries who are members of this congregation. Without doubt, these are troubling and challenging times in our world. And yet the message of Easter, which was just last Sunday, and of both Old and New Testaments, is that God is always greater. So why do Wayne and Olya, Shane and Jemima, serving with OM, whose photos we saw earlier, plus the rest of the OM team from all over the world, why do they and the Ukrainian Christians, why do they keep faithful in Christian service and keep working for their God and worshiping him? Why? Because God is real. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead and he reigns on high. And how fitting that today in the Ukraine is Easter Day, according to the Ukrainian calendar. I chose the reading from Isaiah 40 because it reminds us of God's power and sovereignty in the midst of crisis and chaos. Indeed, it's a message to the whole world, telling us, that however things may seem, God is in control. He is the all-powerful sovereign God. The prophet Isaiah was writing in the 8th century BC, and here in chapter 40 and through to chapter 55, he looks ahead 200 years to the invasion by the Babylonians and to the exile that the Babylonian army would take the people of God into, taking them to a foreign land. Isaiah is preparing God's people for such tumultuous times ahead and telling them that God is in control. And so to the first of two main headings in the longer section of this sermon. First, God is the all-powerful sovereign king. Isaiah is keen to show just how superior the God of Israel truly is. Firstly, over people. Verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Since I came to Australia nearly 10 years ago, I haven't seen many grasshoppers. Got to tell you that. But 2 weeks ago, there was a grasshopper on the fly screen of our back door, and I got very excited. And I had a good look at it. I love grasshoppers. And there it was, beautiful, but tiny, minuscule. They're minuscule by comparison to someone like me. But Isaiah is saying here that in comparison to the sovereign God and ruler of the universe, we're just like grasshoppers. We're minuscule in comparison to the sovereign God. And that shouldn't surprise us, should it? Because he made us and the world that we live in. And speaking of this world that we live in, perhaps the vastness of the oceans, the height of the Himalayas, the scale of the Grand Canyon, all these things can amaze and overwhelm us. But when God made the world, it was like he was going on a camping trip. Verse 22, he stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Well, that's pretty humbling stuff for us to hear, isn't it? In comparison to God, we're just grasshoppers living in a tent that he made for us, his creation. And he sits enthroned above, verse 22. He's the king, the ruler of the universe. And when we truly understand that, doesn't it make the coming of the Son of God into our little world even more wonderful? He left the majesty and glory of heaven to become one of us. And let's not forget that the world was made through him, yet he chose to be part of our world. And so we see that the living God is superior to all people. He's also superior to all rulers. Verse 23, he brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown. No sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Back in Isaiah 37, just three chapters before this, the Assyrian king, King Sennacherib, had been the all-conquering leader of the Assyrian army, defeating all the armies that lay before him. And he ridiculed the gods of the conquered nations. But when his armies were poised to invade Judah and Jerusalem, and he ridiculed the God of Judah, he made a big mistake. In a matter of weeks, his army was decimated, and Sennacherib's rule was over. Indeed, his life was ended at the hand of his own sons. Adolf Hitler's Third Reich was founded in 1933. It was, according to Hitler himself, to be a rule, a reign of 1,000 years. It lasted just 12. Hitler's reign of tyranny was defeated, and he took his own life. In recent days, we've learned of dreadful atrocities in Ukraine, especially in Bucha and Mariupol. But we don't know how things will pan out in the weeks, months, and even years ahead. But we do know this: God is sovereign, even over the most powerful, cruel, and evil leaders of our world. They are accountable to Him. They may rule for a short time, they may rule for a long time, but they will one day discover who is the supreme ruler. They will be held to account. There will be justice in the most daunting court of all, the court of heaven before the judge of all the earth. He brings princes to naught. May knowing of God's justice bring some comfort and hope to the people of Ukraine. May they look to Him in their hour of need and discover the one who is the supreme ruler, God and King and Shepherd. For the living God is superior to all people, all rulers, and of course to all gods and idols. Nothing and no one is His equal. He is beyond compare. Indeed, in verse 25, Isaiah brings God's question before us. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Many down the centuries have claimed to be God, to be divine beings, but they all died along with their empty claims. Except one who rose from the dead and left an empty tomb. King Canute was king of Denmark in the 11th century AD. He also became king of England in 1014. Reigning for 21 years. He was known to be a good and just king. He was also a Christian king. So whatever you may have heard of the stories regarding the waves, often the historians have got it the wrong way around. If you really do the research, and my junior school let me down here, when King Canute was told by one of his courtiers trying to flatter him, "Most noble king, I believe you can do anything," Canute knew the truth. He rebuked the courtier, called all the courtiers and noblemen who were gathered in that hall of the palace outside, down to the water's edge. It was a coastal palace. King Canute famously commanded the waves to stop and go back, but they didn't. King Canute then told the assembled company, "Learn how feeble is the power of earthly kings. None is worthy of the name of king, but he whom heaven and earth and sea obey." Isn't that good? As we heard in the reading from Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus stilled the storm with a word. The Creator King is Lord of all He has made. Isaiah 40:26, "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Dr. Michael Griffiths, the former international director of OMF, the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, once wrote a book entitled, "Your God is Too Small." Isaiah clearly sensed that the people of Israel had that problem. They had failed to grasp the greatness of God, and they needed to be reminded. And do we, if we're honest, make that mistake as well? Do we make God too small? Because he's not, is he? His power, authority, majesty, and holiness are beyond our human comprehension. As Isaiah has revealed to us, the living God is the all-powerful sovereign king. And yet, the remarkable fact is that this all-powerful God then empowers his people. And so in the final and much shorter second section of my sermon, my second heading is, the sovereign God empowers his people. At various challenging times in our lives, you and I would not be the first people to ask, where are you, Lord? What's going on? Why has this happened? Do you truly care, Lord? The people of Israel had the same questions 2,700 years ago. They were saying, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. I don't think any of us would be surprised at the present time if the Christians of Ukraine sometimes said and thought such things themselves. But the Christians of Ukraine, the people of Israel long ago, and us today in 2022, need to have the perspective that Isaiah points us to, that God sees, God knows, and God understands everything. And he is there to help and empower his people. Verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Isn't that reassuring for us? The eternal creator God understands everything. He understands totally the crisis of Ukraine. We can be assured it breaks his heart, but he totally understands it and is near to the brokenhearted. The words I've just read from Isaiah are wonderful words. It gets even better. Verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. The all-powerful God empowers his people for challenging times and ordinary times. And of course, since the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within and to empower and gift God's people to serve and worship him. Such empowerment, you may be pleased to know, has nothing to do with age or fitness. It's all about spiritual strength for the life and journey of faith. Verse 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Isaiah is teaching us that the way to grow strong in the Lord is to keep trusting in him, putting our hope in him, the God of all hope and giver of eternal life. As we trust and hope in the Lord, a sure and certain hope, because Jesus is risen and reigning in heaven, as we trust and hope, God promises through Isaiah that God's people, verse 31, will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Here is a wooden eagle, given to me on the day of my ordination in 1985 by a dear older Christian friend. It was to remind me that God would strengthen me for the journey of faith. And what did he write on the back? Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. This eagle has been with me wherever I have served the Lord, even Tanzania. It's a reminder that God is my strength. So may the words of Isaiah encourage, inspire, and reassure us here today. And we don't know who's watching online, but hello. And if there are any in Ukraine who are catching this, we send our greetings. We love you and we pray for you. And we pray for the work of OM in your land. God is good. God is sovereign. And God empowers his people to love and serve him, even through the most challenging of times. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a sovereign and mighty God who stooped into our world to show us how to live and then was led out to die for our forgiveness, but who rose again and equips those who follow him with new life and God's Holy Spirit. Lord, please empower us afresh and remind us of your majesty and greatness. In Jesus' name, amen.